Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good, have a good day. We appreciate you being with us. We're happy to be here every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Coming up this hour here on the show, we are stunned to a news in 20 minutes. And in 40 minutes, speaking of stunned, did Baker Mayfield just see a UFO? Bum, bum, bum. We were absolutely cracking up last hour here on the show as Merez is the subject of the weekly meme whipped up by Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. Merez told us a story from earlier in the week where last week when he was in Florida, he was in and out of a Waffle House in 12 minutes. That includes walking to the Waffle House and back to his hotel room and having eaten a chocolate chip waffle. 12 minutes. The Usain Bolt of Waffle House, setting all types of world records. And so the meme is Merez crushing one of those waffles outside of a Waffle House, and our logo, our circular show logo, being a waffle, which makes the show look really, really delectable, and this needs to be a future logo of the show. And Merez had that look of ecstasy from his egg scramble earlier in the week on his face as he wears a Kirk Cousins jersey. Now, there's a lot of references there, and you need to dig deep. This is like a Highlights for Kids magazine. The Kirk Cousins uniform comes to us as a reference from last hour, where Merez saying he's not going to use the maple syrup on the waffle because it's just empty calories, of course, because of how disciplined he always is with his meals and eating. The Kirk Cousins jersey is representative of that Merez isn't heavy enough to get gastric bypass. So he's caught this in between, kind of like an 8-8 team looking for Kirk Cousins. He's not skinny enough to be healthy, but not heavy enough to get gastric bypass.
Kirk Cousins.
The always terrible 7-9 situation. Essentially, Merez's diet is Jeff Fisher. It's just not bad enough to get fired and not good enough to make the playoffs.
I mean, really, I've seen a couple big loads that were way heavier than me that are now way thinner than me because they qualified. It's ridiculous. It's not fair.
Have you asked about the stomach stapling?
No, because I don't know that I could go through with that either. I feel you're also cheating, too, when you do that. I'm not a cheater. I need to do things the natural way. Yeah. But it's just more principle that even if I wanted to go down that road, I would literally have to become crazily more unhealthy and gain, I think, like another 80 to 100 pounds to qualify. Which is insane. Now, I could probably do it, but it's insane. So it's crazy that by being worse than me, you actually, in many ways, could be better off on the health process. And I find that to be very backwards.
As we described this last hour, both me, Bogish, and Merez just cracking up, and Pete as well. I mean, we were just laughing and laughing and laughing. Kevin tweets, My goodness, you guys are going to get me fired. I just backed my service truck in at work, sitting here in tears laughing, and my customer's foreman walking by, looking at me alone in my truck, cracking up. FML. Dixieland Dan tweets, I'm swerving all over the road because I have tears rolling down my cheeks from laughing so hard. Listening to a 12 DA of Christmas unfold live is like the eighth wonder of the world, and I was just wondering what Marez is going to hack up this time instead of a chicken bone. So we already have our epic fail. Stick around for the end of the show for that. And yes, I think we have to put that in the 12 DA's hopper. Hearing you just lament the fact that you're not fat enough to get stomach stapling. And that's a disappointment.
A lot of coaches get fired for having the body I have.
And you're just Kirk Cousins away from stomach stapling, or Kirk Cousins away from being healthy. I don't know.
Right.
Losing weight one way or the other. So that's why Mraz is in a Kirk Cousins jersey in our Target Demo Friday meme today.
I also, DA, have a hint of looking like somebody we'll never name again on the show in there that may or may not have been a Vikings fan with the bald head, and that disappoints me greatly, too.
There's a lot of Easter eggs dipped right into this meme.
And the to-go order phone number for this Waffle House is our show phone number as well.
Cap, oh, wow, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
Wow, boy, Cap is buried a lot in here.
It's insane. Ooh. You're right, it is a Highlights magazine. Find the shoe.
It really is like an Easter egg hunt. And I got to tell you, the DA Show logo imprinted on a waffle looks delicious.
Yeah, I wonder if we could get waffle presses made like that. I think that would be great merch. Maybe another giveaway. The DA Show waffles. Having kids ask, Daddy, why does my waffle look like this? Well, it's the show with the fat guy.
It's like us describing to Westwood One why we have to play Super Dave calls. You get it, honey. No, you get it. Your waffle has a sports radio show logo imprinted on the top. Just eat it up. Eat it up.
What is da?
Yeah, why does my waffle say da? So yesterday the Steelers come to an agreement on the contract renegotiation for Ben Roethlisberger. And just reading through the details, it struck me that these capologists, this would be a good job to get into. It is so confusing to figure out how the Steelers were able to save that much money on the salary cap. You know, you've got to get real creative, and there's all these loopholes and ways to do it. And I know a lot of people look at Ben Roethlisberger and say, why bother? Last year, he ended up flaming out toward the end of the season. In that playoff game, he was ungodly bad. Why would you bring him back at 39 years old? And my answer is, well, do you have a better option? That's number one. And if you don't, then can you make this make sense? Mason Rudolph isn't a better option. And I don't ever believe that Mason Rudolph is going to be the heir apparent. I don't ever believe he's going to be the everyday starting quarterback in Pittsburgh. I don't. I don't think there's any way that you can look at him and say he feels like the next franchise quarterback on a franchise that is always competing for the playoffs. The way that they did this was they had Ben Roethlisberger reduce his pay from $19 to $14 million, spread the cash payment through the next 2 years, and there's some type of salary cap reduction that they got thrown in there as well that should help them re-sign other players like Bud Dupree potentially. Well, I look at Ben Roethlisberger and I say, okay, there could be the glass half empty. And that is, after 11-0, they struggle down the stretch. Roethlisberger was continuously tinkering with, do we have a deep game? Do we have a short game? Where does he look comfortable? And they lost multiple games down the stretch. And then they lost in the embarrassing, humiliating fashion of the wild card round. And he's 39 years old. Why would you bring that guy back? And I would say this, glass half full is you don't have a better option right now. There's so many teams around football fighting for improvement at quarterback that this is a highly competitive market to try to find a quarterback. And Roethlisberger did throw 33 touchdowns last year and led his team to 11-0. I know that feels like a long time ago, 11-0. I know a lot happened since 11-0. But he was good enough and at times great enough to be 11-0. 33 touchdowns was tied for 7th best in the NFL with Deshaun Watson. And Deshaun Watson had himself a career year. Now granted, if Deshaun Watson was in Pittsburgh with those weapons and those wide receivers, he's probably throwing more like 40 touchdowns. So there's a team that went 12-4, went to the playoffs with 33 touchdowns thrown. There's a team that went 4-12 with 33 touchdowns thrown. I'm not saying Big Ben is as good or better than Deshaun Watson. What I'm saying is it's not nearly as bad as people paint it out to be. His season wasn't nearly as awful as it feels on the back end because of what we saw last. Now, do we see the beginnings of a future Hall of Famer crumbling, kind of like Peyton Manning in the final season, where you just knew the arm strength wasn't there and you needed a great defense to supplement him? Certainly possible. Certainly possible. But I'm not going to ignore the fact that for 11 weeks this year, Ben Roethlisberger was undefeated and he was throwing touchdowns to all of his wide receivers. The reason the bottom dropped out on the season was that the defense suffered massive injuries, huge injuries continuously. Two stud linebackers and a starting corner went down, and they had no run game. I mean, James Conner and company simply could not run the football and or stay healthy. So that doesn't help your 38-year-old quarterback. I think running it back with Ben Roethlisberger, if you want to say, well, D.A., they're not going to win a Super Bowl because Big Ben's not that great anymore. Okay. But is the alternative turning to Mason Rudolph? Because if it is, I'm going to say thanks, but no thanks. I'll take my chances with a 39-year-old Ben Roethlisberger coming off a 33-touchdown season. They still have those wide receivers, even if Juju Smith-Schuster leaves in free agency. We assume will be healthy defensively to at least start the season. And you've got to fix the running back position. You have to find a way to run the football. But that's not a huge ask. If you run the football and have a healthy defense, I think Roethlisberger, even at 39 years old, can be good enough to get to the playoffs. Are you going to say, yeah, but they're a one-and-done flameout? Okay. But Mason Rudolph is a one-and-done flameout, too, on his absolute best day and probably more like on his best day, 8-8. So I'm going to take my chances if I can get Big Ben on the contract that I like. So I like this for the Steelers. I think it makes sense. In an offseason where everybody's looking for a new quarterback, why dip your toe into that swimming pool if you don't have to? Mraz, you're on the other side. You don't like this deal at all for the Steelers.
I just think you're completely delaying the inevitable. And if that's what we're playing for in Pittsburgh Steelerland is to make a wild card round and bow out, okay. I just thought the Pittsburgh Steelers had higher standards. And what gets the Steelers closer to a Super Bowl to me is playing Dwayne Haskins. And if he's great, great. If he's terrible, then you're right, probably in the mix in the top 10 next year to take a quarterback then. We're assuming that they're not going to get any one of these quarterbacks in this draft, and they have no real definitive answer. You bring up Mason Rudolph, but I think they would go to Haskins before Rudolph because at least they signed him as a lottery ticket. And the deal here with Ben Roethlisberger is we could focus on touchdown passes. I know you alluded to those on Twitter yesterday. 29th in a passing league in yards per attempt. Coming off that arm surgery, he had a little pop early in the year, but completely faded. And the moment everything didn't go well and perfect for the Steelers, when they got the injuries on defense, they sputtered to the tune, including that playoff loss of 1-5 down the stretch, because he simply isn't good enough unless the situation around him is perfect. And they freed up some cap space, but it's still not enough. And there's a good chance that two huge pieces on that defense, Joe Hayden and Bud Dupree, aren't on this team next year because they can't afford him. So, and you look around that division, they're at best right now, I think, the third best team in the division. And who knows what the Bengals become with Joe Burrow. This kind of feels like they're just clinging to the past because they don't have a proper solution at quarterback. And time has run out on that. And in the end, they're going to need an answer at the future position at quarterback. So you're just delaying that by a year to me.
Well, this helped you get to $15 million of cap space. So you got to sign Bud Dupree or Joe Haden. You can't let those guys walk. This is
but
the
it didn't,
point
it didn't
doing
get
this.
You to $15 million in cap space. It freed up $15 million, but you were still $7 million over. So all you have is $8 million in cap space by doing this.
Okay, but they got to get one of those guys back.
They
that's
do.
That's why you do this. So if you get one of those guys back, that is part of this. I think number two, let's just say it's not Mason Rudolph because it's going to be Dwayne Haskins. What happens if they end up going 7-9 with Dwayne Haskins this year? That throws you in the middle of the draft anyway. You're kind of assuming Dwayne Haskins is either the franchise quarterback or 4-12.
I disagree with that because I do think, to your point, I think the Steelers' defense is too good, and we saw this with, what was his name, Duck Hodges the year before. I think the Steelers' defense is still too good that you'll never bottom out and be in the top five. So, not to steal the line from the fat stuff we did an hour ago, but to me, I think you almost have to approach this, or I'm going to approach this the same way the Eagles approached Week 17, which is you're not tanking to the tune of we're going to go 4-12, but you're tanking to the tune of if we lose two more games with Roethlisberger, that could be the difference in slotting up and having a more attractive asset if we again have to trade up for a quarterback next year, or maybe you get in a situation where a guy falls to 10. We don't know what the quarterbacks are going to be like next year, but we know they're going to need a young quarterback, and winning 10 games or 11 games and losing the wild card round, it, to me, does less of a service to you than going 7-9 or 6-10 with a Haskins.
But if you would have dialed us back and listened to our shows in mid-November, we were talking about Chiefs-Steelers AFC Championship.
Absolutely.
Game. So you're going to change everything you expect with this team based on the final 6 weeks of the season?
I am, because I'm changing the way Roethlisberger looked. I think that because the defense was so great, and because Roethlisberger was playing good enough, it covered up a lot of warts. But the moment it wasn't just one thing or the other; it was a couple things at once. The moment the defense had those injuries that obviously crushed the team, they were sinking at linebacker. But at that same moment, Ben Roethlisberger and his age and coming off the surgery he had showed that his wear and tear on his arm was just depleting, and he also wasn't mobile enough. I believe we played the clip of Ike Taylor a month ago saying the same thing. He just doesn't get himself in shape enough and take care of his body enough to make up for what's being lost in his arm strength. And I think with all of that deterioration, you might have Roethlisberger good for the first 8 weeks fresh. But ultimately, kind of like we saw with Drew Brees, I think the team would be good enough, but he's just not going to be good enough to go get you in contention to beat one of these great teams in the Super Bowl because we're going to run out of bullets in that arm.
Okay, but, I mean, if he gets you to an AFC Championship game or gets you to a Super Bowl, it is definitely worth bringing him back.
Okay.
There's only one team that can win a Super Bowl, but it's not like the Chiefs season was worthless. It's not like the Bills season was worthless. It's not like the Packers season was worthless. You get to the Final Four, that is a worthy season. And if the Steelers' defense is that great, doesn't a game manager Roethlisberger with Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson actually end up giving you a shot to make the playoffs and win a few games in January?
I look at the scope of the AFC. Do you really think, and look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, knowing that I know that they're going to bring somebody back, but they're going to lose
on
other
November 15th, we had them hosting the AFC Championship.
And they didn't. And that was November 15th, and then we realized what happened after. You could.
But they had serious injuries. What happens if they stayed healthy? They could have absolutely been in the AFC Championship game.
So now we're going to assume in the NFL that they're going to be completely healthy next year, with losing the pieces we know they're probably going to lose, and that Roethlisberger isn't going to look even worse than older next year.
They're going to lose pieces they're probably going to lose. That's why they restructured Ben Roethlisberger, to not lose those pieces.
To not lose everybody. They're going to lose some pieces.
Well, you mentioned two players, Haden and Dupree. If they keep one of those two and stay healthy on defense, they have one of the best defenses in football. Well, they just got to find a running back. They have to be able to run the football. And then Ben Roethlisberger doesn't have to throw for 350 yards every game. If they have a top five defense, which is probable if they keep one of those two guys, and can run the football, why can't the Steelers win the AFC North?
Do you think talent-wise, even with that defense and what they have offensively, they're as good as the Ravens and the Browns? I don't think so.
They won the AFC North this year.
They did.
They won the division.
Because of their fast start at 11-0.
That talent. Well, yeah, but they had the same talent. Do they have the same talent? Yeah, of course they do.
But their quarterback's only going to get worse.
Well,
and we're assuming the run game's going to be fixed. We don't know if the run game's going to be fixed.
But we don't. We can't assume that Ben Roethlisberger is going to be terrible either. You can't just assume that. If you, what do you do? You have to work towards improving your team. And so right. improving your team is.
So you think Ben Roethlisberger is going to get better than he was last year?
He might not get better, but he might stay the same.
I mean, what
he was
good
really
that...
good for 11 weeks. I mean, it's not if this team was 6-10 and Roethlisberger had an awful season, I get it. But again, you have no better option. Your defense is only three massive injuries away from having helped carry the team to multiple playoff wins. I mean, I think we all assume they would have been the one or two seed in that in the AFC had they just stayed healthy on defense. And they had no run game. I don't think that's that hard to envision them making the playoffs again.
I just think you have to rely on a lot of assumptions here. You have to assume that you're going to keep being completely healthy on defense, and maybe that's the best assumption. You got to assume that Roethlisberger won't fall off even further, where he basically is playing dink and dunk offense. You have to assume that both the Browns and Ravens won't get better themselves, and then assume that you are, as a whole team, completely healthy, and you assume that you improved the run game. That's a lot of assumptions that are working the wrong way with a quarterback like that who's getting older and looking worse.
But you know what? If you were a Steelers fan instead of a Giants fan, you would assume those things.
I would, and I also assumed those things back in 2016 when the Giants went 11-5, and I was dead wrong. They should have got out from Eli, and they didn't.
But if you were a Steelers fan right now, and you were like, well, we just went 12-4, we had massive injuries on defense, we don't have a better option at quarterback, and there's no quarterbacks to be had in the open market right now unless we give up a leg and an arm, you know what? Why don't we run it back for 1 year? You would be all in on that situation.
So that is the one part of this argument I agree with you is because of the craziness and everybody's thirst for a quarterback this year that they maybe just don't have any, and obviously they've proved that they don't really have a choice, but I don't know how you, even as a Steelers fan, I think you hope for the best, but I don't know that you could assume anything other than we're probably going to make the wild card round and lose. And to me, I think if you're the Steelers and you play for Super Bowls, it just feels like a delaying of the inevitable. And you're just – that defense – you know, do you want to be the Denver Broncos? I know the Denver Broncos won a Super Bowl. It's a bad example. But they let that defense, and they thought that defense would be great, and then they swam floundering trying to find a quarterback, and then the defense aged out. To me, I'd rather start that clock now knowing I'm going to have this defense pretty young for a couple of years and get this thing moving.
But it's kind of weird that you're making this argument because we were fighting the opposite argument back during the season when I said you have to have elite quarterback to win a Super Bowl, and you said, no, you don't. Look at Nick Foles and look at some of these other recent Super Bowl winners where, you know, Jared Goff got to a Super Bowl and you're like, you don't really need that. And so now you're saying that unless you have Ben Roethlisberger as an elite quarterback, it's not worth competing, even if you have a great defense. I mean, the Buccaneers get to a Super Bowl this year, at least in part because of a great defense. If the Steelers have a defense like the Buccaneers, I'm not saying Ben Roethlisberger is going to be Tom Brady, but if you have a great defense, that can help carry you to a postseason and a postseason win or two.
Sure it can, but again, the point of your argument that I ended up later agreeing with wasn't just that the quarterback itself needs to be elite, but they need to rise to that level of play in the postseason like a Nick Foles did. And I just don't know. Again, Ben Roethlisberger, all he became was dink and dunk because he can't get the ball down the field in a league where you have to get the ball down the field and spread it to those wide receivers. That's a major concern I would have for that Steeler offense.
He threw 33 touchdowns last year. It's not like he had no arm. It's not like it was Peyton Manning at the end.
What were his long touchdowns like? There weren't long touchdown strikes. This was 6.9 yards per attempt, DA. 6.9 yards per attempt. 29th in the league. Can't throw the ball.
I think that changed over time as the season wore on. I think early in the season that offense was creating big plays. I think as the season wore on, defenses got kind of hip to it. And maybe Roethlisberger's arm strength did end up dipping, and he tried to do too much later in the season. And remember, it was kind of clunky. They didn't know if they wanted to be a short passing game, a long passing game. But early in the season, it wasn't long ago where we were like, wow, the Steelers look really good, and Roethlisberger looks really good. I just think we shouldn't have that short of a memory that the two of us were talking about how great the Steelers looked late October.
I agree. And things changed. Things changed. So, look, there's a long way to go in the offseason. There's a lot of ifs to go in the offseason with run game and defensive players and all of that. But I'm telling you right now, there are going to be a lot of people, probably including myself, that come time in August, we're probably not picking the Steelers to even make the playoffs.
Well, maybe not, but I do think you have to always wonder what's the alternative. And people say, well, it's Super Bowl or bust. Well, there's only one team that can win a Super Bowl. And so you have to build a good team to be competitive and make the playoffs. And you have to hope some things go your way. But it's not going to always be Super Bowl or bust. I mean, the Steelers haven't won a Super Bowl in 10 years. Well, more than that, 12 years. So it's always about building a competitive team, hoping you peak at the right time, hoping you're balanced.
True.
And if you do that and you're one of the 4 to 6 best teams in football, I think it's a worthy season. Either way, the Steelers are getting Ben Roethlisberger back for one more year. It is definitely on him to be healthy and to be in shape and to be focused. Now the responsibility lies on him to actually get in shape at 39 years old. When we come back here on the show, we are stunned to a news and we have some advice from listeners on how to properly eat a waffle. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
The way sports talk was meant to be, on an imaginary spaceship.
You want to hit?
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Akbar Baja Biamila on today's hip hop. Tomorrow, with teams on the bubble and tournament seeds still up for grabs, CBS rolls into March with college basketball's triple header starting at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, Georgetown at UConn, followed by number 6 Alabama at Georgia. Pac-12 matchup between 19th ranked USC and UCLA. March is here. Hello, March! And the road to the Final Four continues tomorrow with a college hoops triple header only on CBS!
CBS Spectacular, yeah!
Stallone and Rambo 2, we're day by day.
But this story. Lonnie tweets, thanks a lot, guys. You made me laugh so hard as I was driving to work, I got pulled over. Cop thought I was driving under the influence. I said, no, just the DA show. He said, oh, with that crazy fat guy, Mraz? No ticket! How about that? We saved Lonnie from a ticket. Oh, no, sorry. It says crazy funny guy, not crazy fat guy. My bad, Mraz. Crazy funny guy.
Sleep. You had to get one more fat in before the end of the week.
I read it wrong.
Yeah. Convenient. You just love seeing the word fat. We've been over this.
My bad, my friend. I'm sorry.
Jeff in South Jersey says, so it seems Team Mraz is in a place to pick either to make a day-to-day game plan, adjust and battle to make the playoffs, which is losing weight, or what the fans always want to see, start the tank job now, double fist bear claws every morning with a milkshake.
I mean, I'd live my best life.
You like a bear claw for breakfast, a little pastry item?
I don't mind. See, I wish pastries, ironically, were healthier. A good breakfast pastry, I'm all about. Again, I'm not big on cream exploding in your mouth. I've referenced that several times. Mm-hmm. But I don't mind it. You get a little powdered sugar on your little underneath your nose. I like that look.
Well, they're delicious because they're not healthy. That's the key here. A lot of butter, a lot of cream and a lot of richness and a lot of jelly sometimes and sugar on top. And
no, you're right.
That's why it's so delicious.
But we're trending in the right direction. Yeah, these gluten-free cookies have gotten out of control. They're awesome now. So I think that we could find ways to make pastry healthier, even if it's for a next generation.
You can find some decent gluten-free items these days. I'm gonna tell you. It's kind of surprising because if you tried gluten-free 10 years ago, awful. Absolutely disgusting. But recently, there's been kind of a boom in it, so I think you're right. There's some good food science going on these days. Now, Mraz does not like maple syrup on his waffle. You might call it maple syrup. I call it syrup. I love maple syrup. Bogues loves maple syrup. I think Pete the Body loves maple syrup as well. Pete, is that true?
I do, but I also like jam on a waffle as well.
Jam on a waffle is good as well. Yeah, that's true. Robert is in Oklahoma, and he had called to let us know the proper way to eat a waffle. Robert, good morning.
Morning, D.A. Can I get a BMO?
You know it.
Hey, yeah, before I trash Mraz, I love Mraz, but by the way, so I've got a deluxe, a supreme, and a platinum waffle. The deluxe waffle comes with chocolate chips and butter. Yep. If you want to top that, you go with the supreme waffle, which you would top it with the pancake and add either honey or a maple syrup combination, And the platinum comes with a slice of French toast on top with all the toppings.
So three different bread items? You're doing a French toast on top of a pancake on top of a waffle?
Yeah, I got that idea from my daughter because one day I was cooking. She's 6 years old. Couldn't decide whether you want waffles, French toast, or pancakes. So she said, hey, do all three. That's where I got the idea from. Platinum, deluxe, supreme.
That's incredible. Wow, that's aggressive. Okay, I like it. Anything else there? I think that's it for Robert. Okay, that's an amazing.
Drop the mic.
What do you think, Mraz, about three different bread items?
Well, it's a lot of bread. I would question, we know some other parents like he does that would maybe fatten their kids in that way. At least he's cooking at home. I would say I don't mind it because I do think there's different textures involved between a pancake, a waffle, and a French toast. They're all cut from the same cloth with their own twist on it. So if you put them all down in one bite, I just question, though, once you're doing that maple syrup and honey combo, does it all just taste the same? I don't know. But I like that idea. I'd go to another level, maybe a silver platinum medal and crack an egg over it, too. Who cares? Let's put it all down.
Does that seem a little piggish to you?
Well, here's the thing. I think that the pancake, the waffle, and the French toast are so wonderful on their own that by putting them all together, I think you might lose something there. You know,
DA, James Harden never won a title in Houston.
Well, that is true. Harden, individual greatness, Kyrie, individual greatness, Kevin Durant, individual greatness. You bring them together, they can win a championship, I suppose. But my issue there is if I'm going to double up something on like a pancake or a waffle or French toast, I wanted, as you said, throw some eggs on top of that. Throw some bacon on top of that. Give me something like that instead of a pancake, which to me might flatten the taste of the waffle.
Yeah, because again, you're doing so much sweet with that bread going on there that you want to add the salt. That's why, I mean, heck, all these restaurants do the pancake combo with the eggs and bacon, of course. So you're doing sweet on top of sweet on top of sweet, which is bread on top of bread on top of bread. Obviously not gluten-free. Now, my question, though, D.A., maybe, he didn't really mention this, chocolate chips in the waffle at the bottom, but then maybe a blueberry in the pancake, and then you a little cinnamon French toast, and then at least you're getting the blend of the chocolate and the berries and the French toast to switch up the taste with
that
it as well. Instead of plain, give me separation with that.
Yeah, that could be it. You know, you taught me something very important. That is to change up the palate. When you have, let's say, 10 chicken tenders in front of you, instead of getting redundant with just dipping it into one type of sauce, a ketchup, a barbecue sauce, a Polynesian, a sweet and sour, something like this, if you line up different sauces, it's going to keep changing up the palate and refresh your taste buds. I've adopted that from you. I made myself chicken tenders a couple of weeks ago, and I said, you know what? In honor of Mraz, let me get the ketchup and the barbecue sauce and the sweet and sour sauce here, dip a little bit one, then the other, and it really does vary up the entire meal instead of getting kind of tired of one or the other by the end of it. And that's a bit of my concern with the waffle, the French toast, and the pancake on top of one another. As you said, get some chocolate in there, get some fresh fruit in there, get some syrup in there, get some bacon in there. Let's change it up a little bit to create some dividers.
I would also say if you're making that kind of breakfast, and I'm sure there's going to be a listener out there that tries this weekend, leave room for a nap, because I don't think that's exactly one where you make sure you run out to Target or Walmart right after, because it's going to be a real situation.
Andrew Bogus has our headline this morning. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
DA, good morning again. So as I tried to tell you last hour, LeBron and KD picked their teams last night for Sunday's All-Star game in Atlanta. James had the first pick, used it on Giannis, eventually completing his starting five with Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, and Nikola Jokic. Durant, who is not playing Sunday, picked Kyrie, Bradley Beal, Kawhi, Jason Tatum, and Joel Embiid. Knicks forward Julius Randle ends up on Durant's bench. Now, our boy Brandon Tierney has taken a lot of heat this week from some very high big names for tweeting that Chris Bosh was never as good as Randall is playing right now. Randall, at least, has BT's back.
Ellington outs for a cutting Plumlee to the rim, blocked away by Randall. Payton the lob, Barrett, and they're well ahead of the pack, and Barrett with the slam, and the Knicks up 103-91.
That's Ed Cohen on Knicks Radio. Randall playing some D, scored 27 points. 16 rebounds and 7 assists in a 114-104 home win over the Pistons. Damian Lillard scored 44, including 10 late in the fourth as the Blazers beat the Kings 123-119. The Suns handled the Warriors 120-98 with Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Kelly Oubre all out for Golden State. The Nuggets down the Pacers 113-103. The Celtics outscored the Raptors 132-125 for a four-game win streak. And back and forth they went late in Memphis.
Here come the Bucks. No timeout. Holiday, 5 seconds to go. Drew fades the jumper. Good! 2 seconds to go. 112-111. Bucks lead by one.
That's Ted Davis on Bucks Radio. Drew Holiday getting Milwaukee a 112-111 win over those Grizz. Nothing poops about this. Winthrop in the Big South title game again after thumping Longwood yesterday, 82-61. America's most underrated point guard, Chandler Vaughdrin, 16 points, 8 rebounds, and 9 assists. In that pesky top 25, second-ranked Michigan wrapped up the Big Ten regular season title by dumping Michigan State 69-50. Number 3, Baylor, down number 17, OK State 81-70. And fifth-ranked Iowa pounded Nebraska 102-64. Those are the Hawkeyes' most points, their largest margin of victory in a Big Ten game since 95. Villanova guard Colin Gillespie is likely done for the season with a torn left MCL, and Creighton has suspended indefinitely head coach Greg McDermott for using a plantation reference in a post-game speech to his team last week. It ends up being a pay cut that keeps Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh, his salary dropping from $19 to $14 million, plus 4 voidable years added to his deal to spread out the cap charge, so Big Ben now counts $26 million against that cap, not 41. And on ice last night, the Islanders stayed hot 5-2 over the Sabres. The Flames beat Ottawa 7-3, but still fired head coach Jeff Ward postgame. Daryl Sutter takes over, having already been Calgary's head coach from 02 through 06, and its GM from 03 through 10. And for the final time this week, we're stunned.
Doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
DA, I was sent this by James Peters on Twitter and thought of you immediately. Now, hopefully we are done shoveling large amounts of snow here in the Northeast. I know you've had your issues with the local plow guy, so maybe... maybe you can hire this lady the next time you need some shoveling. Erin Peace of South Lyon, Michigan, was seen shoveling her driveway in late February in a pink and purple full body, full head cover, unicorn costume.
Wow.
Michigan winters are tough. They shovel more than we do, so you have to have some fun with it, I guess. However, I don't know if a full unicorn costume is good when it comes to keeping you warm and or dry. Maybe it's not comfortable pushing a, you know, snowblower while you're in this bad boy, but at least you're the cool neighbor, I guess. I actually think this is a pretty good business idea. Imagine if the guys that came to shovel you out or your landscaper showed up in a, as a character, like the Power Rangers or the Ninja Turtles, making cleaning up your property. I might pay extra for something like that.
I would, too. I really love this story. I'm glad you thought of me. I thought maybe you thought of me because I like to have fun in the snow. I think everybody gets depressed in the snow. I like to go sleigh riding or sledding or skiing or ice fishing or do something recreational outside.
As a unicorn.
So I really appreciate this because the winter can be depressing if you let it be depressing. It's not a lot of sunlight. You're shoveling a lot. You're freezing cold. Slick roads, all of this. Schools are closed traditionally if you're not doing from homeschooling. So it's an issue. I get it. But I think you have to look at glass half full. And I like this lady trying to find a way to have fun with your snow blower. And in this way, a pink unicorn daintily hopping up the driveway, snow blowing, just gives me a smile on my face. And this unicorn costume is one of those inflatable unicorn costume, so there's got to be some type of air thing going on through here. And she's also kind of like hopping and skipping up the driveway looking like a real My Little Pony unicorn. So she's just in character. It's not easy to keep that head balanced as you snowblow. And she's having fun with her snowblowing. I really like this lady. This is a lady of my own type of attitude and personality. I love it.
She's a leader, DA. I like she's a leader because the moment you get that first snowfall, all right, things are beautiful. But when you get beaten over the head with snow, like I'm sure you do in Michigan, like we have in the Northeast, it just gets depressing. And the only way to get out of that depression sometimes of snow falling is just to find something spontaneous to make you laugh. And she's not maybe doing this for herself, but if you looked out your window and you saw a pink unicorn snow blowing at your neighbor's house, you would laugh, you would breathe that sigh of relief, and suddenly getting beaten over your head with another foot of snow doesn't seem so depressing when you see the pink unicorn. We need leaders. She's a leader.
That's exactly right. And this was happening in late February. So this was not the first snowfall. This is after 2 to 3 months of getting pounded in Michigan. So that just goes to show you she's still keeping a positive attitude. It's a little bit like Tom Brady down 25 points in the Super Bowl against the Falcons saying, keep your head up. Let's keep going here. Let's stay positive. Let's make some plays. One play away from turning this thing around. That's what she's doing here. That costume also on Amazon is about a $50 costume. So that's a pretty decent investment that you're making in the moment. I love this lady. In fact, I really love this lady for snow blowing her own driveway. Forget about a man. Forget about a husband, a brother, a whoever, a son. You're blowing it yourself. I love this lady. This Erin Pierce woman of North Lyon in Michigan. She's my type of gal. That's my type of people right there.
Yep. We're getting the break yell at now.
Okay.
Yeah, Pete hates her. Go to break.
If you are watching at watchda.com or on Twitch, you see our logo as a waffle, and it's amazing. Just, it's really the highlight of my week, the DA show as a waffle logo. When we come back on the show, Baker Mayfield nearly beamed up from a mothership. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Friday, everybody. Check out our Target Demo Friday meme, which is Mraz in front of Waffle House. You understand, I'm sure. Check it out by going to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDAShow. And you could also check us out on Twitter, at DA on CBS, and let us know where you're listening, how you're listening, and how you like your waffles. I'll read those coming up here in less than 2 hours from now. So, Baker Mayfield tweeted the other day, almost 100% M and I, as in his wife, just saw a UFO drop straight out of the sky on our way home from dinner. We stopped and looked at each other and asked if either of us saw it. Very bright ball of light going straight down out of the sky towards Lake Travis. Anybody else witness this? This was from earlier this week on Wednesday night at nearly midnight. I'm thrilled with Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield.
You know, some of these athletes are too cool for school. You can't admit that you might have seen a UFO. And here's Baker Mayfield being honest. Love it. Love it. I, for one, believe in UFOs. I believe in alien life. I believe in the sheer numbers or mathematics behind it. Every star you see up there, every star, is potentially the sun of another galaxy. Our sun is a star. Our sun looks like a star to other galaxies and planets. So every star you see up there has the potential to be the sun of another galaxy. And you're telling me that statistically, numerically, the odds are there's not other intelligent life? Come on! Of course! And beyond that, we're talking about the Pentagon declassifying footage shot by a Navy pilot that looks like a UFO. We're talking about multiple governmental officials openly referencing UFO stuff and scientists. I mean, come on. The evidence is there. We got alien life forms up there, which is cool. Hopefully they're like ALF and they're wisecracking aliens that wear Hawaiian shirts. Ha! I kill me! Hopefully they're like that. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're those big bug eyes and long skinny fingers and probe your body orifices. But whatever it is, I believe, and I'm glad that Baker Mayfield's not too cool to admit he might have seen a UFO. Baker, stay strong. You probably did. When we come back here on the DA Show, more on the NFL's offseason and this crazy Trevor Bauer story.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.